The comments within the following podcast are those of any show hosts and not representative of any company in which the show hosts may represent. iOS version 12 is released, several different demos, and even a discussion in regards to internet telephone systems. This is podcast 2 number 90. My name is Jared Reimer. Contact information is at the end of the program. I'll give it here quickly for you. Email and iMessage tech, that's T-E-C-H at menvi.org. Text or WhatsApp 804-442-6975, or you can call that number. iOS 12 and screen time. iOS beta cycle by Michael in Indiana. His thoughts in regards to how it went and the fact that we don't have as many bugs as we once did in iOS for many years. iOS 12 and notifications. iOS 12, Siri, and shortcuts. I'm still a little confused about it, but I take you through that screen. And finally, folks, internet telephone systems such as NetByPhone and NetEcho by Internet Speech. Are they relevant today with the way the web is? I take you through how the web worked before, and I talk about how these systems may be starting to have issues doing basic functions such as searching on the internet. And I'm interested in your thoughts. Again, contact information is at the end of the program. Please feel free to enjoy the podcast and contact me with any questions, comments, or concerns. I look forward to hearing from you. Let's start with iOS 12 and screen time. Welcome to podcast number 290, everybody. This time, we're going to focus on iOS 12. We're also going to talk about the beta process. One person had a very nice experience with the beta process. And everything else dealing with iOS 12. Now, I've been playing with it a little bit. And I figured a Saturday that I don't have a lot going on. I did go out somewhere. I did have one phone call. I did need to look up a telephone number, but for the most part, I had not really used my phone. I was listening to a football game. I thought I'd talk a little bit on this segment about this new feature they've got called screen time, which is quite interesting. But I don't know if I'm really going to rely on it. I haven't decided whether I'm going to turn it off completely, whether I'll let it track what I do and then sort of look at it at the end of the day. I haven't quite figured it out. And of course, I haven't looked at every little detail of screen time, but I did take a look at some of what it's got to offer. This is still running on iOS, right? So all of the iOS functions are still the same. And this is the iPhone 5S. And I notice it's snappier. I was commenting on one of the boards that I thought the battery was going quicker, but it could be a couple of factors. Number one, it is warm outside, so that's part of it. And another part is that, depending on what you're doing, you're going to be using battery anyhow. So I want to take a look at screen time because I want to show you how inconsistent this is.
12:11.
Especially since I didn't even pick up the phone during the 10 o'clock hour, except for once when I was on a phone call and I needed to give somebody a telephone number. And hopefully they'll have a phone call returned on Monday. Because I found out that they were not available. So,
settings.
Nope. Settings.
Settings. Bluetooth. Cellular. AirPlay. Personal hotspot. Notification. Sounds. Button. Do not disturb. Screen time. Button.
Screen time.
Select settings. Back button.
And here are the options you have in screen time.
Screen time. Heading. Screen time. Today at 12:11. Heading. iPhone. Button. Device usage summary. Total usage. 36 minutes. Social networking. 3 minutes. Entertainment. 2 minutes. Other. 1 minute.
I know that it doesn't necessarily say anything. I'm a little concerned because, like, when I've opened up the Transit app, it says that I'm using social networking. I wasn't even in my social networking apps at all today. Let's see what else is in this screen so you know what's here if you have not looked at this before.
Downtime. Schedule time away from the screen. Button.
I don't have downtime turned on. It looked like when I was looking at it, it showed that any time between 10 p.m. and 7 a.m., I don't have the ability to use my phone unless I approved apps. That would be okay, but I decided not to turn that on.
App limits. Set time limits for apps.
You can set time limits for apps. I don't have that.
Always allowed. Choose apps you want at all times. Button.
You can choose apps that you want always.
Content and privacy restrictions. Block inappropriate content. Button.
Inappropriate content.
Use screen time passcode. Button. Use a passcode to secure screen time settings and to allow for more time when limits expire. Share across devices. Off. You can enable this on any device signed into iCloud to report your combined screen time. Set up screen time for family. Button.
Okay, so
set up family sharing to use screen time with your family's devices. Turn off screen time. Button. Turn off screen time.
And that's it.
Airplane mode on. Airplane mode on.
Now I have airplane mode on for a reason. I'll turn it back off later and whoever messages me or any notifications come in later.
iPhone. Button.
Let's go through this because I find some inconsistencies here, I think.
Selected. Today. Button.
We have today?
Last 7 days. Button.
Or last 7 days. I haven't looked at last 7 days. I want to look at that, and I thought I'd do that on the podcast.
iPhone. Screen time. Today at 12:14. Edit. Total time. 39 minutes. 8 o'clock. 8 seconds other usage.
8 seconds other usage. I picked it up, and I turned off airplane mode. And then I left it alone.
9 o'clock. Social networking. 56 seconds. Entertainment. 1 minute. 17 minutes other usage.
I turned on one of the football games. And I was looking at some notifications. And we'll get into notifications later. Because they did change it. And I'm actually glad I figured out. Because now they allow you to group notifications. So if you get 10 sports notifications, you get the latest one, and then it says 21 others. But what if I'm not in while I get a sports alert, and I chose to allow it to not group, so turned it off so that I can read all the notifications, because I only can read the latest one by the looks of that grouping feature.
10 o'clock, 7 minutes other usage.
7 minutes other usage. I was on a phone call, and then I looked at my telephone, as I stated, to look for a phone number for somebody who needed it.
11 o'clock. social networking, 2 minutes, entertainment, 1 minute, other, 1 minute, 10 minutes other usage.
Well, so I picked up the phone and started using it a little more during the 11 o'clock hour, especially when I got home.
12 o'clock, 4 minutes other usage.
And
12 o'clock, 4 minutes other usage.
It's saying 4 minutes other usage, but the hour's not over yet, which is fine.
Summary, social networking, 3 minutes, entertainment, 2 minutes, other, 1 minute.
Okay.
Most used, heading, show categories, button, settings, 9 minutes. Button.
I'm continuing to look at screen time, so I open up settings and spend time in there. So because I'm in there now, it'll count more time. That's fine.
Messages, 3 minutes. Button. Phone, 2 minutes. Button.
I was looking at a phone number, but I did get a phone call, so I'm surprised that it didn't count that in there.
Tune in radio, 2 minutes. Button.
I turned on the football game, but other than that, it was in the background.
App Store, 1 minute, button.
I ran updates on my apps today, and I'll get into one. I'd like to cover Dice World, I think, because it sounds like they made some accessibility updates, and they also did some other odds and ends for changes, so I want to see that.
Pickups, heading.
Now, here's where I think we have a problem. This is the pickups. How many times in an hour do you pick up your phone? Frankly, I think it lies, because during the 10 o'clock hour, I only took my phone off of its clip once to open up the phone app to go get a phone number. And I also, during that time, did pick it up for me to figure out if the call was connected, because I wasn't hearing them when they first called me. So maybe twice I picked it up, but it's saying I picked it up more, but I was walking, so that is totally not correct. Let's see.
5 per hour, 8 o'clock, 1 pickup, 9 o'clock, 20 pickups.
20 pickups at 9 o'clock. I was looking at messages and other odds and ends.
10 o'clock. 5 pickups.
5 pickups? I think I only picked it up 2 or 3. So, okay.
11 o'clock. 7 pickups.
Alright, so 7 o'clock I used it a little more.
12 o'clock. 3 pickups.
And so far it says I have 3 pickups at 12 o'clock.
Total pickups, 36. Most pickups, 20 between 9 a.m. 10 a.m. Notifications, heading, 31 notifications, around 4 per hour.
So, the notifications, 31, around 4 per hour.
6 o'clock, 1 notification.
Blackjack wanted me to take its turn, so it notices. And if I had left my phone on, it would start probably at whatever time if I got notifications overnight.
7 o'clock. 2 notifications. 8 o'clock. 2 notifications. 9 o'clock. 19 notifications. 10 o'clock. 1 notification. 11 o'clock. 6 notifications. Messages. 13 notifications. Button.
Then it starts breaking it down.
Twitter. 6 notifications. Sports. 4 notifications. Calendar. 3 notifications. Capital One. 1 notification. Button.
Capital One's my app, and I got billed. So.
Messenger. 1 notification. Button.
Messenger. I have messages I gotta go through, but at the same time, I set up PayPal to let me know when something goes through. Although PayPal and Messenger, it notifies me, but I still rely on the email because I can't tell, and it doesn't seem all that accessible, the messages I get in Messenger, but at least I have another way to know that something was paid for. And then I can look at it either in PayPal's app or whatever. So I find it of value.
Screen end. Hurricane Tracker. 1 notification. Button.
Hurricane Tracker app. It did send me a notification in regards to a tropical storm. And so that came in this morning too.
Show more. Button.
There's show more. Let's see what else.
Selected. Show more. Tune in radio. 1 notification. Button.
One notification on TuneIn, it let me know that the week started.
Hertz tracker. Tune in radio.
And that's it. I really find that this seems pretty accurate. I think the only problem I have is these pickup times that they have. And so that's going to be very interesting.
Screen time. Back button.
I haven't quite figured out whether I'm going to let this do this or not. I'm not really sure. I mean, I do find some of the knowledge of interest. Like, how many notifications do I get in a day? That's kind of interesting. But I don't know. I'm curious on what you guys think.
App setting.
Because if you guys think that it's a value, I'm okay with it. I'm okay with that. I personally don't think the pickups aspect is very valuable. Especially when you're walking and you're not even using the thing. It says I had 5 pickups. I'm sure I only picked it up 2 or 3 times. And what does it consider a pickup? Last night, I didn't touch the phone for an entire hour. So in that, it went from 6 o'clock to 8 o'clock. And so, that is that. Very interesting thing we have here in regards to the screen time. Some people have told me that they've taken it off. Or they turned it off. I'm almost tempted to do that, but there's some aspects that I like. Now, it could be a point where I just don't go into settings and look. I just let it graph, and if I go in there at night to go look just to see, fine, but unless I make a change in settings, I don't, plan to go in there. It's just that I've gone in there to look at this thing to see how it works and everything. Coming up next, Michael in Indiana shares with us his experiences during the beta testing cycle of iOS version 12.
I did something this year that I have not done in previous years since I've had my iPhones, and that is that I participated in the public beta test. Something that I had never done before, something I always said that I wasn't comfortable with because of all the problems that some of the more recent iOS versions have had. And although I don't use my phone for, a wide variety of things, like have a select few things I do. It is my main device. And I always said that my concern with beta testing is that since it is my main device, I don't want to break things. Great. I don't want to break things. So, my concern with beta testing had always been that the fear of if I install this stuff, knowing that it's beta software, if I have problems, you know, and it takes time to get it fixed, and things won't work as I need them to, and I did not really think that I wanted that hassle and that aggravation, whatever. And so I originally had always said that although I beta test games from Blindfold, I always said that I didn't think I wanted to beta test operating systems. I originally said I wasn't all that comfortable with it. Well, long story short, I got to a point where I had a conversation with a buddy of mine, and we were talking about the fact that VoiceOver is always full of bugs, and we talked about that, and I said, I certainly don't want to beta test it, because if it's full of bugs, as it always has been, I don't want things broken that I depend on. And my buddy's comment to me was, maybe there aren't enough VoiceOver users that are doing beta testing. And that could be why Apple has had so many problems lately. Because they don't find them until they put it out, because there's not enough VoiceOver users doing beta testing. And when my buddy said that to me, I told him I hadn't thought about it that way. I had thought about it as I don't want to break it. I depend on it too much. And I don't care to break it. But, you know, when I thought about it, I thought, you know, as much as I don't want to break things, maybe now would be a good time to do beta testing. Apple had said at the WWDC earlier this year that this year was not going to be packed full of features as previous iOS versions have been. This year was going to be a bug fixing and performance enhancing year as far as iOS went, and they basically told us that if features is what you're looking for this year, you're not going to get it. And we got some new features on the horizon, but really, we, you know, Apple said earlier this year that they decided that this year was not going to be packed full of features. This year, they were going to concentrate on making the operating system better. And they have done exactly that. I've been running beta since it came out, since the public beta started. And I have had very, for the most part, pretty minor or moderate bugs. I did not experience a whole lot of major bugs that were big problems. There were some that were kind of annoying, but there were not really too many that were quite major. A lot of those have already been fixed, though. I am one who can typically explain things well when it comes to making bug reports, and the things that I noticed, I explained them to Apple on the feedback app that comes with the beta program, and they seem to have been able to resolve a lot of those bugs and make things work more as expected. not having so many weird happenings that shouldn't be. there was really two major bugs that I experienced that were repaired over this beta test period. One bug was related to Facebook Messenger and using a Bluetooth keyboard. That was fixed. And the other bug that I experienced that was so bad was an app moving bug. I'm not going to go into the description of those bugs because those bugs are no longer present. They have been fixed. And they have been fixed. It serves no purpose to go down that road. But I will say that those two were the worst that I experienced in the beta test period. And if that's the worst there is, I can live with it. Now, like Jared, I don't use Braille displays. I don't have a use for Braille. I never liked it to begin with. And so I don't use it. So therefore, I don't deal with it. So those Braille display bugs that Jared was talking about, obviously, like you said, don't affect him. They don't affect me because I don't do it. So I got to give it to Apple. They have really made a point to listen to, voiceover users and fix some major problems that have been in some of the new iOS versions over the last few years. I believe the really major bugs started coming in iOS 8. That's when it went to crap. And so that has since changed over this version. The public beta lasted for a total of about 11 different versions of it. There were different bugs that were fixed. Oh, there was one more nasty bug. I forgot about this when I listed the bugs that I experienced. There's one more big nasty bug in a version a couple beta versions ago that was quite nasty. They fixed it, but oh, was it annoying. And that was something to do with the software update area. It would continuously notify you that there was an update when there wasn't. But again, I, as well as probably others, reported it, and it was resolved. It was such a big bug that I reported it overnight, and the next day they put out a new version of the operating system to fix it, so if that tells you anything. So that was the worst. They did say in the Apple update from earlier this week that speed is definitely something that they worked on. And so that is very much the case. So in Apple Vis, if you're like me and you don't get into reading articles, which is something that I don't do very much, if podcast is more your thing, Apple Vis has put out a few podcasts recently over the last few days, highlighting some new features in the operating system and how they work, what they do. As far as bugs, they did not, you know, mention a lot of that in the podcast, but if features are your thing and you want to know about those, they have done a few new podcasts recently in relation to that. If you want to hear those, of course, you can download them from applevis.com, subscribe to the feed if you want to do it by RSS, or you can go to Board 165 here and get those if you are interested in that. I think that's pretty much all I have to say on the iOS side of things. I don't do the watch, so I'm not even going to comment on that. Nor do I do Apple TV, so I'm not going to comment on that either. We were given, those of us that did beta, were given what's called the Gold Master Edition or the GM Edition the other day. It wasn't listed as a beta. It threw me off. I thought the major release had come out the other day, and then I did a little research and found out. I mentioned it on the Apple board here on the system, and later found out through a podcast I was listening to that that was the Gold Master Edition, and that the actual release for everybody would be the 17th. So, unless they had to fix anything over the last couple of days, I suspect that I probably won't see the software update tomorrow because I pretty much have what's there. It's possible, but I don't know. We'll see how it goes.
Now, let's go ahead and get in notifications, because there is a little bit of change in that I'd like to share with you, that I thought that you all would be able to benefit from. And so, I didn't like the way this worked, because, like I said in my first segment, I may not be at the phone, and if I see, let's say, Dodgers 5, Angels nothing, top of the ninth, and it tells me a score, and I said, and it says, you know, 5 more notifications. When I try to view it, I only get the one. I don't get the others. I like the idea of it, but for me personally, I don't like that. And when I get multiple messages from the same person and I hadn't read the other and it says one more message, sure, I could go through and open the sports app and see what notifications I got if I'm very interested in it. But I like it the way it was before, and I'm happy that I'm able to just turn it off. So let's see how this works.
12:31. Settings. Double. Settings. Cellular. Personal. Sound. Do not. Screen. General. Controls. Display and brightness. Wallpaper. Siri and Touch ID. Emergency SOS. Battery. Privacy. iTunes and apps. Passwords and mail. Contacts. Calendar.
I passed it.
Battery. Emergency. Touch ID. Siri and wallpaper. Display and bright. Control center. General. Screen time. Do not disturb. Sounds. Notifications. Button.
I did pass
Selected.
It.
Settings. Back button. Show previews. Always. Button.
So that hasn't changed.
Notification previews will be shown whether iPhone is locked or unlocked. Siri suggestions button. Choose which apps can suggest shortcuts on the lock screen.
This is a different setting. You can have apps that don't show notifications on the lock screen. Why you'd want to do that? That could be a personal preference. But I find that it's a value. That's how I get my sports notifications and everything. And I don't have to necessarily keep my phone unlocked for that.
Notification style. Heading. Amazon. Banners. Sounds. Badges. Notification style. Heading. Choose which apps can suggest shortcuts on the lock screen. Notification style. Heading. Amazon. Banners. Sounds. Badges. Button.
So let's look at this. So if I go into Amazon.
Selected. Notifications. Back button. Amazon. Allow notifications. On.
You could tell it whether you want notifications.
Alerts. Heading. Selected. Allow on lock screen. Button.
Allow on. You can now choose whether you want it on the lock screen by selecting it or not.
Selected. Allow in history. Button.
Allow in history.
Selected. Allows banner. Button.
And allows banner.
Banner style. Temporary. Button.
Of course, all of those are the same.
Sounds. On. Badges. On. Options. Heading. Show previews. Always. Default. Button. Notification grouping. Automatic. Button.
This is the new setting. Notification grouping. Automatic. So automatically, it is going to give you this whole grouping. Let's go in there because
selected.
That's what's changed.
Back button. Notification grouping. Heading. Selected. Automatic. By app.
By app?
Off.
Or off. And I have it off. This way, I get it the way I want it. I don't get a lot of Amazon notifications, so grouping is fine for that. But for those like messages and sports, that's where you set it. You set it in here.
Amazon, back button. Show previews. Notification grouping. Automatic button.
And that's it.
App switcher. Set.
Each of the apps that you install, if you allow notifications, you can change it all in there. And I've got like a bunch of apps, and it's definitely an interesting time. So that's a little bit on the notifications. That is kind of cool. One of the things that I'm confused about are these Siri shortcuts. I really want to ask Siri when the next bus is arriving. For example, Siri, when is the next 150 coming? It is definitely interesting because it has everything that you type. I was sending messages to somebody, and the types of messages were not ones that I would necessarily want to send again. And why I would want to send specific messages as a shortcut, I could see a point to. And I typed those messages. I didn't ask Siri to dictate that. But everything you've ever done is there on your phone. And I am curious to find out from you all how this works.
1239.
So, settings. In settings,
Bluetooth.
You find
General. Control. Display. Wall. Siri. Touch on. Siri and search.
The options
settings. Back
in Siri and search. So, I'll plug in my speakers and I'll show you now that I'm there.
Suggest messages. Send cries to Jennifer Martinez.
Okay, so, again, I'm using Jennifer as a bait, but the last message I sent was cries. Okay, fine. Not that big a deal. And all of these messages.
Suggested shortcuts. Heading. Mess Twitter. View direct message. With Armando M. Button.
So, there's a direct message from Armando. He was, I think he's been on the podcast here before. Let's see what else is here.
Find my friends. Find Anna. Button.
Alright, so. So, I already can do that where it is, and it'll show it to me. So that's okay.
All shortcuts. Button. Add shortcuts for things you frequently do so you can get them done just by asking Siri. Ask Siri. Heading. Listen for Hey Siri. Off. Ask Siri. Heading.
So the rest of this is the same.
Ask all shortcuts. Button. All shortcut. Siri and search.
There's all shortcuts button.
Mail, VIP, mail, VIP, find my friends, find, mail, VIP, mail, inbox, Jared, maps, maps, get directions for messages, heading, see all, message, mess, PayPal, send money to Janet, PayPal, heading,
there's PayPal,
cap P, words, speak, contain, headings, phone, heading,
there's phone,
see all, button, phone, call, 202-517-1602.
That's the number for Snooster.
Phone. Call Linnell Deed.
Linnell is somebody who's cleaned here. And I actually asked the phone to call.
Podcasts. Heading.
There's podcasts.
Podcasts. Play Marcus Schultz Presents Global DJ Broadcast.
I told it to play that. But we can already do that with Siri. Play this podcast.
Transit. Heading.
Here's Transit. This is Transit app, and I'm confused about this.
See all. Button. Transit. Start go for the 901. From your current location. See all. Button. Edit. See all. Shortcuts.
So, back button. Here's see all.
Transit. Start go for the 901. From your current location. Transit. Get next departures for the 901. From your current location. Transit. Start go for the 750. From your current location. Transit, get next departures for the 750 from your current location. Transit, start go for the 150 from your current location. Transit, get next departures for the 150 from your transit. Start go for the 245 from your current location.
So, I'm a little confused about these because I'll show you.
Cancel, but add to Siri. Heading.
Add to Siri.
Start go for the 245 from your current location. Transit. Record a phrase. You can say something like, start go for the 245.
Okay, so I sort of understand it.
Cancel button.
Now, let's go back.
Shortcut. Transit. Start go. Transit. Get next departures for the 245.
And let's see.
Cancel button.
What it shows I can do.
Record a phrase. When's the next 245? Get next departures for the 245 from your current location. Transit.
So, I'm not exactly sure how to use these. I understand what it's trying to get me to do.
Cancel button. Transit. Start go for the 244. Transit. Get next departures for the 244 from
the
your current location.
44, 245. Bus, it changes numbers when you get to a different stop.
Transit, Get next departure. Airplane mode on. Status bar item.
So, I like the idea.
Back button. Shortcuts. Back button. Siri answer.
But I'm not too familiar with how to use this.
Transit. Start go for the 7. Twitter. Heading. See all. Button. Twitter. Create new tweet. Twitter. Create new direct message. Twitter. Scan QR code. Voice memos. Heading. Voice memos. Record a new voice memo. Voice memos. List. Weather. Heading. Weather. Show weather in my current location.
We can already do that with Siri. What's the weather in?
Weather. Show weather in my... Siri and search. Back button. Siri. Set it. Listen for Hey Siri. Press home for Siri. On. Allow Siri when locked. On. Language. English. United. Siri voice. American. Male. Button. Language. English. United States. Button. Siri. Voice feedback. Always. Button. My information. Jared Reimer. Button. Siri can help you get things done. Siri suggestions. Heading. Suggestions and search. On. Suggestions and look up. On. Suggestions on lock screen. On. Siri can make suggestions in apps, or when you use search, look up, and keyboard. About Siri suggestions and privacy. 7 words. Search. Suggestions and shortcuts. Button.
So now it's all of my apps.
App switch. Set it.
So that is a little bit about shortcuts, and I don't quite understand them per se. Hopefully there's a podcast out there, because what I'd like to do is ask Siri, when is this bus, or when is that bus coming, and it goes and gets it using transit, or even move it for that matter. It honestly doesn't matter. So it's something to play with anyway, but there's a little bit about Siri and shortcuts. Welcome back to Podcast 290. I'm going to hold off on Dice World for now and concentrate on something that has come up to my attention. And I think it's a very important one. And it's talking about the web in general. I'm not going to target any specific company or any specific situation, but I was told about something that I thought would be perfect for this podcast. I will mention a couple of companies by name and talk a little bit about their product, and then I'm going to talk about where we are today. And this still goes into the whole iOS discussion, because iOS allows us to browse the web in a mobile fashion. So we're going to tie all of this together, and I hope that you will enjoy the segment. Way back when I started on the internet, it was in a DOS environment, which means that everything was text-based. And at that particular time, this was a good thing. The thing is that Windows came into effect, and some of the web started having images. No big deal. As time grew on, we ended up getting video. Then we had social networking. And you're able to share what you're doing in your life with anybody in the world. Alright, so that's the short version of the internet. without getting into a lot of detail on how the internet works, you can go over to GRC's Security Now podcast page and search for how the internet works, and Steve will be happy to explain it to you within all the news of that particular time. My goal isn't to do that, but it is to do it in a little bit of a different manner. There are two different companies out there that were able to provide internet over the telephone. The first one is Fillmore Productions Net by Phone. The second one is Internet Speech's NetEcho. NetByPhone was the more popular of the two, although NetEcho did see some traction between those people who needed to utilize those services. Back when they were around, scripting, which allows the web to give you dynamic content as well as things like what's on my jaredreimer.net website, copyright information, which changes based on the year, a script which is called You Are Here, which is a representation of where you are on the physical web page, and of course other types of scripting languages that are used in PHP and programming for making the web dynamic. Now, it has come to my attention that NetByPhone is having some issues with searching the web. When NetByPhone was upgraded, there were some aspects of it that broke. But I'm not necessarily going to talk about NetByPhone or NetEcho entirely. NetByPhone, for its day, worked quite well. It allowed to play MP3 files, while NetEcho allowed people to stream real player files. When NetByPhone was upgraded, streaming broke. I don't know if NetEcho streams currently. I do know of a user who was using it, but sadly he passed away recently. I don't think he was ever a part of my podcast, but the name of the person is not important at this time.
Hello, please say a command.
Fillmore Productions made it very clear that if NetByPhone were to break, he would not do anything with it. And he has a right to do that. But what you don't want to do is flat out make a public scene about,
sorry, I cannot process your command,
asking a question,
please contact customer support,
like, okay, what are plans for NetByPhone? Because somebody's told me that this isn't working. And you say something to the effect of, well, you're not a consumer of NetByPhone, so what do you care? Well, this is the same old thing with Fillmore Productions. Any reason to attack their customer base or potential customer base continues. I talked to the folks at Internet Speeches NetEcho at one point in time, but at that particular time I decided not to get the service. And they might be having the same issues. You see, the internet has grown to a point where when you search on Google, it populates what they think you want to search for. And that is scripting. These services, both NetByPhone and NetEcho, did not support scripting. Similar to iOS. iOS may support some scripting capabilities and cookie capabilities, but its intention was never to be fully supportive of it. But you can do a lot of different things with iOS that NetByPhone and NetEcho's internet speech wouldn't possibly allow you to do today, such as online shopping, bill paying, games, and a whole lot more. Now, iOS has released to version 12, mainly with bug fixes. And of course, the Mac also got an update with bug fixes. And I believe they're calling this one Mojave. Now, the Mac, you could say, is similar to the telephone systems. You know, they've got their good points. It does a lot of what you need it to do. Of course, with the computer, you can support scripting and a whole lot more. And of course, with these systems, as well as iOS, it's not prone to as much malware as the Windows environment. I'm not going to say that iOS and the Mac are 100% prone to viruses, because we know that in some countries, iOS users have been taken advantage of with things that will steal their credentials or even ransomware itself. Trend Micro recently got caught with something in their app that was to help them gauge how the program works, but the security industry found it and made a big deal about it because it was without the consent of the consumer, and so Trend Micro removed that aspect of the program from the program and resubmitted it. Okay, fine. Things like that happen. But what's not happening is the fact that these phone systems, Internet Speeches, NetEcho, and NetByPhone, not being updated for those who utilize it for the fact that they don't want to buy iOS, can't afford a computer. Some may be older and have reasons for making the choices that they do. You know, I said I was going to cover Dice World as part of this very podcast. These phone systems can't support that type of thing. I'm not saying that the phone systems that allow you to browse the net should provide you access to everything. But if you're going to do this correctly and continue to offer a service, then it needs to be comparable, the best that it can be, to how the internet works at the time. I have never heard the folks at Internet Speech ranting and raving because their system doesn't work. I've never heard anybody publicly on any telephone line talk about how the owners of the company or the people that run the company complain because their customers are saying that this doesn't work or that doesn't work. Fillmore Productions always has gone and started complaining when they are asked a question in regards to their product not working, or, you know, what are they going to do about this because somebody says this isn't working, and, you know, what if the potential customer was going to end up signing up? What if he decided that, you know what? There are times I don't want to be on this phone to do the internet because I'm tired and I would rather just have it read to me. You know, I don't mind using the phone, but I don't want to use the browser today. So I'm going to call this number and I'm going to browse the web this way. Now, we don't know whether they're going to do that or not, but the long or the short of it is that the potential is always there to get a new customer. When I started with Net by Phone, it was $29.95 a month, and at the time, I needed it. Then I canceled it when I did not need it. Did it work for me and my needs? Yes. I didn't do everything. I mainly did email because I needed to keep up on my email while I was gone. I took a vacation and I left. And I didn't have access to a computer. Or my computer was down and I needed access to email. Now I've got my iOS telephone. It's fine. I use it for email. I do some browsing. But I also play games and other stuff on the phone. And you can't do that with these telephone services. Now, the two companies, Internet Speech and Fillmore Productions, need to come to a decision on their own time what they want to do with their systems, because today's internet is just going to grow. We were at version 1 when the systems were developed, and the two systems work comparably well. Today's internet is what the internet community is calling Internet version 2. And version 2 allows dynamic content such as WordPress and things to give you content on the fly, using technology that these systems cannot provide. As many people know, there were services out there like Yahoo by Phone that allowed you to do email with your Yahoo account and some internet searches and so forth. While the service was $5 a month, Yahoo at one point shut it down because it was not comparable anymore, or they chose not to run it anymore. Whatever the case was, it may be time for these two companies to decide that it's not worth providing the service. I never covered NetEcho's internet speech before on this podcast, but they did tell me at that particular time when I had talked to them that it was $20 to set it up, and I think it was about $20 a month. Net by Phone, when the revamp took place, was reduced in price from $29.95 to $14.95. If NetByPhone and NetEcho's internet speech cannot work with today's internet for people who need to utilize the services to search and do the internet the way that they know how to do, then it would be best for both companies to decide to shut the services down. Fillmore Productions is the only company that seems to think that it's okay to attack a potential customer whether he signs up or not, or decides to just make a comment and ask questions to drum up conversation. Fillmore Productions ended up putting out his message and putting out a 20-minute diatribe about how they aren't a customer and they shouldn't be coming to him to ask about the service, and he's not touching it. I'm sorry, but if I called the NFB to ask about their transcription course, which I plan to take, and they treated me like that, I'm sorry, but I would not be interested to deal with them like that. I'm not saying they will, and I'm not saying they aren't. I'm using them as an example. The National Library Service has a transcription course, and they outsourced it to the NFB to facilitate and run. I don't think they'll do that. I think they'll treat me with respect. I know I sent them an email. I can always follow up with a telephone call, and I'm really considering doing that. I have never heard of any company, NFB, ACB, AT&T, whatever, coming out and making a public spectacle because someone has a complaint about the service or somebody has a complaint about something not working with their services. And if it is, it's through social media where everybody, including the media, can get a hold of it. And then they go ahead and fix whatever went wrong. They talk to the customer because they didn't like the fact that it backlashed. And they handle it privately. Maybe they said, yeah, we screwed up. We gave the customer this. We talked to the customer, we came to a resolution, you know, but they never talk about what happens with customer accounts and how, you know, customers were treated with any agent. Like I said, I'm not here to attack Fillmore Productions, but Fillmore Productions seems to think that it's okay to continue to attack customers or potential customers or even people who are inquiring about the service because they're interested on why it's not working the way it should, because at some point, maybe they might consider getting the service because their phone's not working. They don't have a working computer per se. You know, the computer's not the best. Whatever the case might be. This is something that really needs to be decided really soon. I have a hunch that both of these systems will more than likely be obsolete within the next year, if they aren't already. I am curious on your thoughts. And you can contact me through the podcast by email or iMessage at tech@menvi.org. If you have WhatsApp or you want to text or call me, my phone number is 804-442-6000. 9-7-5. I think I'm going to end this here. May the two companies make the best decision possible for their customers who use their products. I'm Jared Reimer. This is Podcast 290. We have found a great spot to end the podcast. In regards to the iOS push in our last segment, you can safely say that the iOS aspect does not work with Flash, but neither do the telephone lines that power the internet, such as Internet Speeches, NetEcho, and Net by Phone. I didn't want to get into it there, but I want to make it clear that we know for a fact that Flash is eventually going to go away, and that'll affect everybody, no matter whether you use a telephone system such as those two to browse, or whether you use a computer or phone. But I honestly think that this is a great spot to end, as I think that people need to think about, you know, what works for them. You know, if they're using a service that isn't working, how to relay information to them so that they can decide whether it's worth investing to keep it running. Services come and go all the time, and we hear about it all the time, but we never hear about all the complaints that get it there. That's between the customers and the company, or if the company just doesn't have the resources anymore and everything's working great, just like Roger. Roger ended up closing its doors because of the fact that they were involved in other projects and decided that they could no longer invest the time to keep it going. I want to give out my contact information. So let's do that real quick. My email and iMessage is tech, T-E-C-H, at menvi.org. WhatsApp, text, or call 804-442-6975. And I hope that each and every one of you enjoys the podcast as much as I have putting it together. And coming up on another edition of the podcast, we have got some interesting TED Talks, including one that talks about drones fighting fires, not in the way that you think, and I haven't listened to this yet, but there's a YouTube article that talks about sex trafficking. I've also got bug bounty programs from Wolf Gorlick, and of course we'll find some other great content. I hope that you will continue to enjoy the podcast as much as I am bringing it together to you, and I'll see you soon.